This time of year, you're going to find me jigging for crappies off my father-in-law's boat, celebrating a successful turkey hunt, or just sitting on the back deck watching time go by with a quality cigar from Thompson Cigar. Thompson Cigar has been around since 1915, offering the widest array of cigars and cigar accessories at very affordable prices. Thompson Cigar offers your favorite brands like Swisher Sweets, Cohiba, Backwoods, and Monte Cristo shipped fresh directly to your door. Also, be sure to check out their 5-pack fever deals and join their value club for big savings. Visit thompsoncigar.com and enter the discount code SE at checkout for 20% off of all orders over $75. Thompson Cigar, quality cigars at affordable prices.
You're listening to the Sportsman's Empire Podcast Network, brought to you by Full Sneak Gear. Check out their entire lineup at fullsneakgear.com. Also, be sure to check out our entire stable of podcasts at sportsmansempire.com. This episode of the Sportsman's Empire is brought to you by Interstate Batteries. Since 1952, Interstate Batteries has been evoking compassion and a trustworthy spirit into the surrounding communities. Interstate Batteries is a mission-driven company fueled by purpose and guided by their values. If you need help locating a specific battery, stop into your local Interstate Batteries retail store and speak with a battery specialist. They even offer cell phone repairs. Interstate Batteries, outrageously dependable.
All right, guys, welcome to today's show. And joining me on the show, actually in the vehicle with me on today's show, is Austin Reinold. And this is a forecast of what we're hoping for, what we're expecting, kind of some gear stuff that we brought with us on a bear hunt, our first ever spring bear hunt in the mountains of Idaho. In fact, up Hell's Canyon, which assumingly is going to be a brutal, brutal hunt, but lots of fun. And yeah, this is just kind of our hopes and dreams for the hunt. I hope you guys enjoy it. I love just sitting down with someone in person and discussing a hunt, a recap, anything like that. So hopefully you guys are getting out, filling turkey tags. It is that time of year. At this point, I still have yet to get out and turkey hunt, although this week I'm going to try to make it happen after our Idaho bear hunt. So let's jump in with Austin.
Like, he was doing things that were just badass.
That was one of the coolest moments of my life.
I was really scared, but knowing that Dan had the gun, I did have the rifle, like, we would be okay.
All right, guys, welcome to tonight's episode. Not today's. It is 11:46, and Austin and I are driving 90 miles an hour currently. That's, I guess, self-incriminating. But driving 90 miles an hour through northern Utah, heading up to Idaho for a bear hunt. And this is probably a really dumb time to do the podcast because we are so tired. I got up Friday morning and left our house at 4 a.m., drove all the way to Texas, got like one night of decent sleep, and then I picked you up Saturday night at 9?
Yeah, my flight landed at like 8:45, and that was almost a... a really bad situation. I went from, I guess there was a giant storm over Oklahoma and we couldn't fly direct to Dallas, so we had to fly like a weird route. And I literally was standing beside the pilot, and like while we were waiting to board, and this pilot's literally talking to like air traffic control and stuff, going, you could tell he was like former military, because he's like, all right, what if we flew at 10,000 feet, did this XYZ? And, you know, he said something like along the lines of like, well, that's the government at work for you. And I was just like sitting there going, I hope I make my connecting flight. And dude, in the air, I checked my like arrival and departure. I was set to arrive at 7:50 and my plane departed Dallas at 7:54.
Oh, yeah, that doesn't work. They shut the gate way before.
Yeah. So I was like, I've missed the flight. So that's when I texted you, like, I texted you a little before that,
Yeah.
Knowing that this was like a situation. And then like mid-flight, the pilot goes on and was like, we got clearance to do, I don't know, a new flight plan or a new flight route. And dude, it was the most turbulence I've had on a plane.
Really?
Like, we didn't have like significant drops, but the whole plane ride felt like we were like driving on a bumpy road.
Oh,
it was just
dude.
Bumps all the way. But we touched down at like 6:45, and I'm looking like, I look at the guy next to me, I'm like, sweet, I made my flight. So I get off the plane and walk pretty much to my gate. By the time I get on my gate or get to my gate, we're boarding and everything worked out.
Yeah, I was like, man, we're going to have to pick him up at DFW probably,
mm-hmm.
which wouldn't have been a big deal, but you would have gotten zero sleep.
Yeah.
I also discovered Saturday that I did not get any rain pants. I meant to order some from First Light. Didn't get the order in time. I had new stuff coming from Eberle Stock, which, shout out to them. I love my pack system. I mean, it is phenomenal. And it's I tell people it's like the Glock of packs.
Mm-hmm.
It's fully, or like an AR of packs. It's fully customizable. You can put on whatever you want. You can take off whatever you want from the pack, from the bino harness, even from like the waist strap. And so I absolutely love it. But then you had ordered stuff. And basically, we were having everything shipped down there because we were afraid that it wouldn't get to our houses in Missouri in time. Mm-hmm. And so we shipped it down to Best Retrievers. I was down there for a crawfish boil. And then we were just going to grab it there and head up. Also, huge, huge shout out to Ryan from Seek Outside, because our plans, or my perception of our plans, changed last minute.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, I need a really light backcountry tent. And so I called him up. I was like, hey, I'm about to buy a tent. Curious how quick you can get it to me. He goes, dude, I will send it overnight. Give me an address and we'll make it happen. And so he sent a 6-man ultra light heat tent or hot tent down. And of course, the exact model is slipping my mind right now, but it is 7 pounds, all like it's 7 and change, I think. But that's for a 6-person tent with a wood stove. And that's going to be crucial because we'll split that weight, 3.5 pounds each. And then we'll be able to house 4 guys in it with the wood stove and gear. I think we're going to do 3 guys in gear in that, 2 guys in the other tent without gear.
Yeah. And so, I mean, we've watched the temperature today go from 75, 80 down to now it's currently, the truck says it's 43.
And I mean, we're pretty low right now.
Yeah.
In Utah.
So I think, you know, when we're actually backcountry, it's going to be colder and that tent's going to come in. It's going to come in great.
Yeah, but I'm just pumped. I'm like, I haven't done an early season big game hunt, I think, ever, aside from maybe pigs. And so the fact that we're going to be out with a bear tag and a wolf tag, and we're going to be bombing up this mountain, well, I say bombing, probably struggling up this mountain. Essentially, we're going 25 miles upriver, getting dropped off. We've got a 4,500-foot elevation gain over about 4 miles, 3.5 to 4.5 miles, somewhere in there. What'd you see?
Deer? Idaho sign.
Oh, where's your camera? Oh, dang it. I didn't think we were that close.
I don't even know where my phone is. Oh, it's plugged in right there.
We might actually have time. We are, I think we're way ahead of the other guys right now. So if I need to, I can flip around.
I mean, if we see a place, or we'll just get it when we head out, we'll just have to remember.
We'll just stage the video.
Yeah.
We'll stage the video. It's all good.
And it'd probably be better during the daytime to have an actual daytime video of
what
Idaho looks like.
I feel like it's going to be fake.
Well, now that we've said it on here, it is going to be fake. and people are going to give us
also
crap for
like
it.
Talking about like showing, dude, imagine this shot showing that it's 11:53 and then panning up to the Idaho sign. Like, we're just getting into Idaho. Sick. We have 5 hours and 13 minutes before our next stop, and that's not even where we have to grab our stuff out of the truck and get in the boat.
And we're,
why don't you text the guys, say, hey, can you please get a horizontal video of the Idaho sign?
Yeah.
You should be coming up on it soon. You do that. So we're going to be going up the mountain. Rody from Best Retrievers, he's the one who invited me on it. I invited Austin. JC and Sean are both coming. And these, all three of those guys are pretty well connected to each other. And then Austin and I are kind of the new guys to the group, even though I've known Rody for years now. And yeah, he invited me on the trip, and I was like, I'm in, man. Let's make it happen. So drove almost 10 hours to Page, Texas, and we've got just shy of 30 hours of driving from Page, and we're driving straight through, no like stops to sleep, anything like that.
No.
Then we'll be hunting all week, and next weekend we leave to drive, I think, roughly 24 hours back to Missouri.
Yeah, I think it's 24 hours back to Missouri. And for those of you that have been out west before from places like Missouri, you guys understand the pain of driving through places like Kansas.
Oh my gosh.
So I'm really not looking forward to that trip or that drive at all.
Oh, dude, Kansas, parts of Colorado are pretty miserable. Oklahoma. I mean, there's been a lot of country, even Wyoming.
Mm-hmm.
Like, there have been parts of Wyoming. The nice thing about Wyoming, though, is you never know what animals you're going to see. Might just be in plains, but there's antelope everywhere, or a random fox that runs through. Or we saw a turkey in Johnstown.
Dude, just, that was so random.
Just a long beard right on the shoulder, right next to Shields. In Johnstown, Colorado.
That's the only long beard I've seen this year.
Oh,
just
that's
kidding.
Rough.
Just kidding. I called one in for your brother.
Dude, we're going to have to do turkey mishaps.
Oh, my gosh.
The reason,
dude,
you don't turkey hunt podcast.
How that's to what, not
we'll
hunt
just,
turkey.
Yeah, we'll do a spinoff from Jace's podcast, and it'll be like, how not to hunt turkey podcast. Anyways, I'm super pumped. We are going in light. I'm kind of curious how the other guys are going to do.
Dude, I don't
know. Their packs are heavy.
Heavy. Their heaviest pack would be probably the weight of our two combined, maybe. It may be a little light.
One of them for sure has a 70-plus pound pack.
Yeah.
And I don't weigh my stuff. I don't really track it. I don't, which is probably why I forgot an extra battery for my rangefinder and rain pants, but that's okay. But I don't track the weight and stuff. I don't have the spreadsheets. I know a lot of guys get into it. I just kind of wing things. That's how I do it. That being said, I think my pack's probably in the 30s.
Yeah, to be honest, I don't know how your pack is in the 30s, because my pack is pretty heavy. You know what's really making my pack heavy is the battery backups that I have, since I'm bringing the camera to record. I had to have a little bit more battery backup for this trip.
I mean, I have two power banks that are both pretty stout. Now, I got to throw some 1,000 calorie bars in.
Mm-hmm.
I've got to throw the sleeping bag in still. I've got to throw a couple random things, but honestly, not much as far as weight goes.
No.
So, yeah, I've got some work to do.
I think once we balance out the food for mine, like, I think my pack is actually going to drop in weight.
Wait, how much food do you have in yours?
Well, I bought like a box of Clif Bars and a box of like those chewy granola bars.
Oh, okay.
And I just have like, I dumped it was like a 30 pack and then 10 Cliff Bars plus the Ignite from Mountain Ops.
Yep.
So all of that is just kind of in my, what I have as like my food bag.
Yeah.
And I'm like, that's where a lot of my weight is coming from, because I'm not going to carry all that up the mountain, but.
Yeah. I was going to say, I've got a ton of liquid IV.
Yeah.
I have all the Mountain Houses. I've got my Jet Boil. I have a whole jar of peanut butter, because that jar of peanut butter has 2,660 calories in it. And I'm like, dude, I'll just grab a spoonful. Mm-hmm. But we both at this point probably have almost enough food for the two of us in each of our packs. So we're going to get there a couple hours early, and then we will hopefully get our pack situated, get some much needed rest. But Rhodey, one of the things he did, he was planning ahead. So he got online, bought his tags. They're saying 2 weeks to get to him. Well, then he has to go into Fish and Game to get the replacement tag.
Mm-hmm.
So we have to now wait at Fish and Game until they open at 8 a.m., get the tag. He warned all of us, so none of us bought tags. So technically, the four of us could just go to Walmart and buy tags.
Yeah.
But he has to be at Fish and Game right at 8 a.m., get replacement tags, and then we're going to go meet the boat captain and be hunting.
Dude, so I don't know what time we'll be hunting, but I'm looking forward to it. From, you know, all the research I've done, this is going to be kind of a crazy hunt unlike anything we've really ever done. Like, you could compare it to maybe elk hunting, but even still, like you were saying earlier, coming out here in the spring and stuff, which, going back to that, can we classify a hog as a big game?
I mean, they're varmint, but when you're talking 300 pounds, I feel like,
I mean, I guess it's big game.
Like, that's heavier than 99% of the deer shot.
Yeah, that's true.
In this country. So, yeah, I feel like because it falls under pest or varmint or whatever, it's not technically classified as big game. You don't usually have to have the same license to hunt them as you do anything else. So, sure, maybe not. But as far as shooting something with a larger caliber rifle in the spring, that's it. It's hog and now bear. And even more than bear, I'm hoping for a wolf.
Mm-hmm. Did you see these signs that we just passed?
No, I did not.
One said deer migration. And then the next one said, like, game crossing next 10 miles.
Good.
Yeah.
Good. I should probably pay attention because, you know, I'm driving 90 miles an hour.
You were driving through, where was it? I think it was Wyoming.
Crap, I just incriminated myself in two different states.
Call the FBI.
Oh, you know what? That's kilometers per hour. I'm good.
You had in kilometers the whole time. Call the FBI. Yeah. Now it's a multi-state.
Multi-state sting operation for two first-time spring bear hunters. You know, the worst of the worst. So, yeah, we are ready to rock, man. And here's the thing about me driving fast. My only two goals in road trips are to get there safely and to not get there after my initial arrival time.
Mm-hmm.
When I punch it in, if it says 10:01, I cannot be 10:02. In fact, I want to be 9:01 by the time. And over the course of a drive like this, I mean, we've had a lot of stops. We even went and picked up last-minute gear. But I'm still trying to shave off that time, which if I shave off 29 minutes over the next 5 hours, we'll be in good shape.
Yeah. I think it can be done, because I think in the last 2 hours you've shaved off about 15 minutes.
Yeah. Yeah, I think we're solid. So it helps that speed limits here are 75 to 85 miles an hour everywhere. But I know that as we get into more mountainous country, things are going to change. So
the up and down is already starting to happen a little bit more.
Oh, but yeah.
Did you even, I don't even think we said how long we've been driving. We've been driving since 2 a.m.
And it's 12.
Yeah.
Technically 1 a.m. from the time we started, because we started Central, yeah, and now we're in Mountain. So we've been driving 23 hours so far.
Of roughly 30 hours, right? 29 and a half, I think.
Yeah, it's 29 and change. So, yeah, 23 hours.
So, I think I've slept 2.5 hours while you drove. I've slept a little bit longer,
yeah,
but not much.
We're going to switch it up. You're going to take a shift here in a while. Probably get out and stretch legs. We've got about an hour and 15 minutes left in this tank, so we'll just kind of keep cruising. But I want to get your thoughts, okay?
Yep.
Having never done a hunt like this one, and knowing what we know about the terrain that we're going to be hunting, about how high we have to climb, about how far we're probably going to be seeing the bear, and then having to make plays on it, like, where are you at headspace-wise? How are you feeling? Do you feel confident? Are you concerned about anything?
I mean, I think with hunts like these, you have to come in a good headspace, number one. And
yeah.
But you also have to be real with yourself, and you have to go, yeah, this is going to suck. Like, there are going to be days I don't want to do it, but I'm going to do it. Because for me personally, like, taking this time away from my wife, or like you, your wife and kids, I feel like it's almost disrespectful not to give it my all.
Oh, yeah.
Because I came out here, and while, you know, I'll preach that this, like, hunting isn't all about the kill, I came out here to harvest a black bear.
Yeah.
That's what I'm going to do everything I can to do. So with all that being said, like, I'm looking at it going, yeah, this is going to suck. There are going to be days when I wake up and I'm going to go, oh, it'd be nice to just sleep in. But I'm not going to do that because I want to have this experience and to kill a black bear. So if that means waking up earlier and climbing up and down this mountain that I hate climbing up and down and carrying a heavy pack, okay, let's do it. Because, I mean, I think there's a little bit of a correlation between, like, how hard you work and how successful you are.
Yeah.
Because it's not all that, but there is a big correlation in that where you know, if you're willing to put in the work and go the extra mile, you know, guys are getting off the boat and camping at the river, we're going even deeper. I think it's going to just, all of that adds up to having success in a hunt.
All right, guys, I've got to tell you about some of the new XOP products that I've been using this fall, and some of them I use in kind of an unconventional way. First off, I use the Mondo saddle, but I also use their turkey hunter vest, and I take the Cold World stand, put it in the back of the vest, and carry it in that way. Depending on how far I have to pack in, I'll just bring a foot platform, but one thing I've learned is that if I put the seat cushion on the underside of the seat and flip it up, it turns it into a knee pad also, or I can flip the seat down and sit on it like a conventional tree stand. I also used their holster kit clipped right onto my saddle to carry in my climbing sticks while keeping my hands free. If you're interested in getting a mobile hunting setup like mine, go to xopoutdoors.com and use code NOMADIC for 10% off at checkout. If you're an avid listener of this podcast, you've probably heard me talking about Infinite Outdoors in the past. Infinite Outdoors is expanding access for hunting and fishing on private land across the country. From whitetail hunts in Missouri to waterfowl hunts in Wyoming and pheasant hunts in Colorado, they provide access to over 1 million acres of private land listings for all types of hunting and fishing. Best part is, it's incredibly easy to browse and book properties all on the Infinite Outdoors app. The app is free to download and easy to use. All you have to do is sign up and you can browse over 250 different adventures across 10 states. Download the app today and use Nomadic15 for 15% off your membership.
Yeah. I mean, we're going to do whatever it takes to find a bear.
Mm-hmm.
And if we don't find one, it's not because we didn't give it our all.
Yeah.
But I'm kind of curious about this because we're going to be able to glass a ton of country.
Mm-hmm.
And none of it's going to be easy to get to. But also, from what I've been hearing from other people, like, I hit up a couple different guys that I know that do a lot of spring bear hunting and are very passionate about it. And they're like, hey, you know, you want to be fairly close to the snow line where it's been melting.
Mm-hmm.
You want to be glassing shadows around meadows, 25 to 35 degree slopes. And then also they've both said it's primarily an afternoon evening hunt.
Mm-hmm.
And that kind of surprised me. I just assumed it would be great in the morning and in the evening. But they both mentioned that, like, mornings typically don't produce anything. I'm still going to get up. I still want to be up and glassing.
Mm-hmm.
But I think it might change how we hunt in the sense that, like, we might hunt it for a couple hours in the morning and then pass out on the mountain midday and then get up in the afternoon and figure out where the bears are.
Yeah. I think that's, honestly, that's my game plan. I know I'm going to need sleep on the mountain at some point.
Yeah.
After doing all we've done to leading or to get to this point. But I mean, I think we've got the advice that we need, you know, to be successful. Now it's just going out and doing it, and, you know, we'll see. We'll see what happens. I don't know. I don't really know what to expect, to be honest. Like,
yeah.
Part of me is like, we could get out here and just be covered up in bear, and then on the flip side, it could be like,
ghost
town. Struggle.
Yeah.
So,
I'll tell you what not to expect. Do not expect to get any sleep tomorrow.
Well, yeah.
Tomorrow is just going to be working and hopefully glassing, but I don't think we're going to find a flat enough spot to camp until we go about 4.5 miles in.
Yeah. I mean, unless we camped on the river, but I don't want to do that.
No, because then we burn the whole next day hiking up.
Exactly. So
I don't know. I want to say, I think we're going to spot a bear tomorrow, whether it's boating in or on the hike in. I think we're going to spot one.
I think we spot one. Making a play on it, I don't know. Like, I don't know how far. A lot of the videos I watched, these guys were spotting bear at over 1,500 yards. And they're like, we'd have to drop down here. We'd have to cross a river.
Oh, dude,
we'd
that's
have to
a
do
chip
this.
Shot, man.
Chip shot on a freshly awakened black bear. It's all skinny. I mean, that I don't know how big they'll necessarily be after coming out of hibernation, but like, you're talking like, if it's like 300 pounds, you're talking like a large white-tailed deer,
like a real large one.
Yeah. Like,
but
a very large white-tailed deer.
I would be shocked if we shot a 300-pound bear.
Right.
I would love for it. I'd love to shoot a 350-pound bear, but realistically, they're just getting out of hibernation. They're going to be skinny.
Mm-hmm.
They're going to be trying to put on a bunch of weight right now. But,
and
yeah,
that's,
I mean, if we spot one, though, at 1,500 yards, you better believe I'm making a play on it.
Well, yeah.
And
we're going to try to do everything.
And then
we're
going to have to figure out where we're camping.
Yeah.
So,
I mean,
I think it's going to be a good adventure, no matter what.
Yeah,
and
absolutely.
I think we're going to see a lot of wildlife and hopefully a handful of bears.
Mm-hmm. Hopefully a handful of bears that we can actually get close enough to or try to get close enough to take a shot.
Well, and it would be great if we saw one come out, and if we couldn't get to it in time tomorrow, plan to be there and move in on that spot earlier in the day, and hopefully it comes back out.
Yeah, I was going to actually ask you about that on, like, if we, you know, I don't know how far we hike, but say we, you know, hike to the burn or hike to, you know, some berries or something, like, and we spot one there, but we just can't get it done before the sun sets. We hike him back down, hike him back up. We setting up camp. What's kind of your thoughts with, you know, chasing a bear and, like, getting multiple miles away from our base camp or where we'd set camp at?
I mean, I don't think we have the luxury of doing spike camp and then having a main base camp. Like, we just don't have the equipment for that.
No.
So it's 36 degrees where we're at right now. We're going to climb elevation from where we're at. We're going to be way more remote on way steeper stuff, way more exposed. So I think we got to be back at the tent every night. Obviously, mm-hmm. we've got emergency stuff in case that doesn't happen, but I'm not planning to stay away from the tent at all. And I'm not setting up and tearing down every day.
No.
So if we make plays on bears and it doesn't work out, we're hiking back out in the dark.
Yeah.
In my mind. And I say back out, I just mean back to our camp, because back out is not a reality out there.
No.
Like, but we've talked about doing a 14-mile loop over the course of several days. You know, hiking, spider webbing from camp each day, figuring out if there's bear in the area or, you know, where they are, and then moving camp maybe after 2 days, doing the same thing, moving camp again, and then hiking out. So I think it's going to be a ton of, I mean, we know it's going to be a ton of work, but I think it's going to be the hardest physical hunt that we've ever done.
Mm-hmm.
Which I get kind of excited about.
Yeah.
Because, like, spring is, like, that lazy. I feel like it's that lazy time of year for me.
Right.
Like, we just got done with winter. Seasons haven't really picked up aside from turkey. But, like, you don't have to be in any type of decent physical shape to hunt turkey.
No.
And so to just jump into a mountain hunt right out of the gate, I'm super excited about it.
It's, like, exciting and intimidating, and, I mean, I think that's why we do it.
Yeah.
It's, like, I think you'd be hard-pressed to find people that, if they're honest, wouldn't be like, I mean, I have a little, like, I'm a little nervous for this hunt, but I'm going to do it. It's going to be awesome.
Yeah.
Like, I think for me, like, it's not nervous, like, I know I can do it. It's more so nervous of, like, dude, I don't know what to expect. And until I see it, I won't know what to expect.
Yep.
But that's part of it. It's seeing the country, seeing new areas, and seeing areas that most people never get the chance to see.
I will say, I think it's going to be a lot more rugged country
mm-hmm.
than what we looked at on the maps, even like the 3D maps. But I have in my mind that it is going to be miserable.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm hoping that what I have in my mind right now, not what was on the maps, but what I have in my mind is actually worse than what it ends up being. Because there were a couple pictures from those maps even that did not look great. I mean, we talked about bringing climbing gear.
Mm-hmm.
That's how rough the country looks. So,
which this is going to be partly on us, but it's one thing we might not be able to control, and that's, like, I really don't want us to shoot a bear and then not be able to recover it due to, you know, whatever it might be.
Yeah.
Like, just because of the terrain. Now,
I mean, they're going to roll. That's the thing. Like,
well, they're going to roll, and there's potential that they run. Like, obviously, we'd love them to drop, to be just drop where we shoot them and roll down and us be able to easily retrieve them. But that could be something that gets real hairy real quick.
I think we're going to have a pretty tough recovery.
Oh,
But I'm fine with that. Like, if we have to have a gnarly recovery and it takes us longer than expected, that's fine with me. I just want to find one.
Yeah.
But more than a bear, I want to get a wolf. So I think that's a lot less likely. I think there's a great, great chance that we don't even see a wolf. But if I do, I'll work twice as hard for a wolf as I would for a bear.
See, I don't know if I would. I don't, get me wrong, I want to shoot a wolf. But it's like, a bear would be really cool too.
Okay, so if you see a bear at 1,000 yards.
Uh-huh.
East of you. And then you turn and you see a wolf at 2,000 yards west of you. What are you going after?
I know people aren't going to like my answer because I don't even like my answer. But it kind of depends on the color.
Huh. Okay, so what's your number one color phase bear?
I would love to shoot like a cinnamon or a blonde.
Okay.
Like, if I could get one that looks kind of like grizzly looking.
Yeah.
Like the grizzly bear color, that would be sweet. Cinnamon obviously would be cool. If it's like a typical black bear, I think any wolf would win.
Okay. So, cinnamon and blonde are both pretty much tied in your book for what you want to shoot?
Yeah.
Okay. What color wolf?
Dude, that one's tough. Either, like, I'd be rare to see, I think, but, like, an all-white or an all-black. One of the two.
Okay.
Those two are kind of tied. And, honestly, if you put, like, number one for all of those is, like, probably the cinnamon black bear.
Oh, okay.
That would probably be the number one choice.
So you're going after the cinnamon.
Yeah.
Period. I mean, because if the wolf was 2,000 yards... Cinnamon's 1,000. Obviously, you're taking the thing you want more, and that's closer.
And I think...
And that probably isn't going to be moving half the speed.
Right.
Okay.
So I think cinnamon, and then I think the two wolves before the blonde. Because, like you and I talked about on the phone a while back, we're probably going to kill a black bear or two in our life, or more, depending on how much... Like, if we fall in love with this... And it becomes a yearly thing. I don't think it would be a yearly thing, but like, we could kill multiple black bear. And I feel confident that we can kill black bear. Wolves, you've seen one in your lifetime. I've never seen one. But like in Alaska, we had them in our area.
Yeah.
We heard them in Alaska faintly.
Oh, I think they're going to be out here. I think we'll hear them at night. I mean, I'm not saying every night, but I think we'll hear them at some point during the trip.
I hope we do. And I think we're far enough back and far enough out of society that I think there's a better chance of us shooting one here than there was in Alaska. Just because we didn't get as far off of civilization in Alaska.
Yeah, I think we're going to be more remote here than most places we were in Alaska.
Mm-hmm.
But the terrain's so different. I mean, everything is angles.
Yeah.
And I don't know if that plays well for a wolf.
Dude, I could see him just cruising creek bottoms.
If there's calves or fawns up here.
Oh, man.
Then, they're going to be on the prowl. I think right about now is when fawns are dropping and calves are dropping. I know whitetail fawns. Some of them have already dropped.
Yeah.
I just don't know how early they drop out here. So that's going to be part of it. But, I mean, I think a bear is just so much more realistic.
Yeah.
I've got, like, 10-1 odds that we see a bear over a wolf, or that we get a bear over a wolf. Maybe even higher than that.
Yeah.
I just hope I would be very, very happy if two of the five of us got a wolf.
A wolf or a bear?
Sorry, a bear.
Yeah.
If two out of the five of us got an animal,
mm-hmm.
I would be pretty pumped about that. And we were talking about it earlier today, like way early in the drive. It's not even realistic for all five of us to get one.
No.
Like if we did that, the recovery time, taking care of the meat, taking care of the hide, and getting it out of the backcountry, I just don't think that's happening.
I mean, in all honesty, we'd probably have to shoot two tomorrow for that to even be a possibility.
We would have to shoot two tomorrow on the boat ride in. Like, yeah. Find bears doubled up on an avalanche shoot and shoot two of them. Have that guy take them back. Like, have them roll down the avalanche chute. Have the boat captain, like, we'll tag them, whatever. Write a note for him to transport. Have him take them in. And then we all go out. But, like, think about that. Think about, say we end the day tomorrow with two bears down and already out. I still give us about a 10% chance. No. Even at that point, I would give ourselves probably a 3% chance of filling the other three tags.
I mean, it's just not likely that we fill all three
tags.
Dude,
I'd be pumped if we saw five bear. But also, I don't have any idea what to expect right now.
So, yeah, that's also kind of where I'm like, I don't know what word I'm looking for, but like, that's where I'm kind of like going, I don't know what to even expect when it comes to bear numbers. You know, like, elk hunting, you know that you're going to see elk, and if you find a herd, you're going to see a lot of elk.
Yeah.
But, like, here it's like, this is a predator, you know, and it kind of is more like, I don't know, to me it's like a predator hunt, so it's more like coyote hunting. And I'm like, there were nights we saw 20 coyotes. There were other nights we didn't see a thing. So I feel like it could just be kind of one of those. And then again, a coyote, they kind of run in packs. I don't think bears run in packs.
No.
To my knowledge.
No. No, if we see bears together, it's probably a mom and cubs.
Right. So, yeah, dude, I don't know what the population is out here, but
I hope I get a trigger squeeze.
Yeah.
That's what I'm going for. And then, because I really, one of my buddies was like, dude, keep, like, save the bear fat for making cookies. And I'm like, dude, I would love that. But also, Sam and I made 1,000 calorie bars. My daughter helped a lot, helped Sam a lot. And then I was kind of there to help clean up and throw trash away as they were making them the other day. I was like, how cool would it be to keep the bear fat, make 1,000 calorie bars with the bear fat for next year?
Dude, that would be sweet.
I'd be so pumped about that. So, yeah.
It'd be one of those memes that's on, like, Instagram where it's like bringing them back to where we first met.
All right, guys. If you're anything like me, you have been doing some redneck engineering in order to hang your shed antlers or your cutoffs up on the wall, or maybe they didn't even make it to the wall. They're laying all over the floor, leaned up in a corner somewhere, and not being displayed the way that they should be. I've finally found an awesome solution with RackHub. In fact, I just got the RH2 XL and put my largest match set on it, hung it up in my man cave, and I'm telling you right now, it looks amazing. In the past, my wife's been like, we're not hanging deadheads, we are not hanging antlers, it just doesn't look good, it doesn't fit the vibe. And now that she's seen the mount from RackHub, she's okay with me putting them in the house. Unfortunately for her, it's a little bit too late because I officially have a man cave and a podcast studio for myself and all of my sheds are going to be up on the wall soon. Once I tested it out and realized that it was rock solid, I went back online and ordered a 4-pack of the RH2 XLs so that I can get all of my match sets up on the wall, and I can't wait to finally display them proudly for everyone to see. If you've dealt with that same thing in the past, or maybe you're currently dealing with it, go to rackhub.com, figure out what mounting system works best for you, and make sure to use code NOMADIC for 10% off your order. So if you had to give it a percentage that we killed two animals out here this week, what percentage would you give that?
Between you and I, or between the five of us?
No, I'm saying just like the five of us, that two of us get something. What? Yeah, what percentage are you giving?
Man, dude, I don't know.
That success.
My hope would be 50%.
Okay.
But I don't know if that's realistic.
What about one?
I think if you and I hunt the way we like to hunt and are able to, based on the terrain, you know, because like in Alaska, we weren't able to cover a lot of ground and see stuff, and I felt not. It was kind of like a hindrance that it took us 2 hours to go a mile. So here I'm kind of curious what that'll be like.
I think it's going to be similar. I think it's totally different terrain. I think it's going to take us longer to cover 1 mile, but our visibility is going to be so much greater.
And I feel like, I don't know, I feel like spotting a black bear is going to be a little easier than spotting a moose just because of the vegetation here.
Yeah.
So percentage-wise, dude, I'd want to say like 75% that we
come out with something.
I would say 75% we come out with something.
Okay.
I'm confident.
Yeah. Yeah, I think those numbers are pretty good. Any more than that, I think our odds go down to single digits.
Mm-hmm.
But
I think each group has an opportunity to kill one animal.
I think so too. Yeah.
And I think this area that we're in, the burn really, really gets me excited.
Now, at this point, the goal isn't to make it to the burn tomorrow.
No.
I think tomorrow the goal is to glass a bunch of country, but get up and get camp set up.
Yeah.
And if we have time to actually get out and hunt after that's done, great.
Yeah.
But are you thinking we bump up to the burn right away the next day?
I want to see the country first.
Yeah.
Because, like, though I've never been on a bear hunt, you know when you just see something and you're like, that looks like elk heaven, or that looks like whitetail heaven, or whatever it is.
Yeah.
I feel like we could be walking through and go, that's where we want to glass at tomorrow.
Yeah.
And the burn, my thinking with the burn is, and you'll have to track with me here, but like, so the guy taking us up in the boat had said he ran into a hunter who hadn't seen anything, but they're starting to see a black bear on the move. Which tells me not every bear is out of hibernation right now, but each day there's more moving around. Each day more bear are coming, kind of like the rut, you know?
Yeah.
Each day you're getting closer, you're getting closer to that peak. So I think we're coming in at a prime time of like early in the trip we may not see much, but later we could start seeing more, potentially. Mm-hmm. Would be like my thinking. And where are they going to want to be? Is that new vegetation just under
curious,
the snow line?
I'm curious how far below the snow line the burn is.
That, yeah.
You know?
I mean, that'll determine a lot, to be honest.
Yeah.
If it's, you know, significantly lower than the snow line, then it may not be worth our time. You know, maybe that's, you know, not tomorrow, but the day after. Maybe we wake up that morning, glass, and we go just check out the burn mid-afternoon. Midday, we take a hike, go check it out. If we look at it and go, yeah, this is where we want to sit, we sit there, If not, we come back and we're able to hunt that evening.
Yeah, I think that's good.
I mean, I'm not... I'll need probably a nap midday tomorrow, or like, I guess not tomorrow. I'll need a good night's rest tomorrow, but after that, my mindset is like, I want to see what's over that ridge. I want to see what's over that ridge.
Yep.
And I want to find it. If I can find a bear, I can kill a bear.
Yeah.
That's kind of what I think when I go on these hunts is, if I can find it, I can kill it. And if I can find it, I can find it again. You know, it's kind of like whitetail. You start picking up on where they like to move and different things like that. I feel like it'll be the same with bear. You know, we'll see stuff and we'll go, okay, that's where they like to be. And I think when we see our first, it kind of unlocks the door to seeing more and more.
Yeah. Yeah. I think that's all pretty accurate.
He disagrees step with one, everything.
No, step one is finding him.
Yep.
If we can do that, we're in good shape. And to, like, catalog that, where it is.
People are going to be like, yeah, guys, of course step one is find one.
Dude, this is 23 hours of driving sleep-deprived thoughts, okay? I already warned all of you guys that this might not be a great episode because of that. I'm going to end this recording and not remember what I even said, probably.
You're going to listen to your own podcast and be like, oh, wow, these guys are smart.
Listen, we drove through Colorado, but we did not partake in their state plant. We both look high as kites right now because of how tired we are.
Dude, if we were to get pulled over, we would have to answer
Idaho,
some questions.
Idaho state trooper would be like, okay, yeah, we're going to need you to take a sobriety test. And I'm going to be like, how do you distinguish between sober and tired? Or like drunk and tired? Because we're both real tired.
Be like, can I take a nap before I do that? That sounds like a lot
of
work. Yeah,
why don't you let me sleep it off in the truck here for a little bit? You know what? Go ahead and take me in. Or I am under the influence. Could you just drop me off safely at this boat ramp tomorrow at 8 a.m.?
That's not a bad idea. A police escort.
Throw all our stuff in the back of your car, bud. Let's go. Oh, man. I'm kind of regretting not having my flat tow system hooked up in here, because we totally could have just hooked this to the back of Sean's truck or JC's truck and just had him pull it all the way up here. And then we could have split the drive among five guys instead of two.
That's actually not a bad idea.
It's a great idea. And I had it too late.
Mm.
Everything's too late. This podcast is too late. Okay.
So, hold on. Step one is no longer find a bear. Step one is find a state trooper to take us to the boat ramp. Step two, find a bear.
Okay.
Step three.
I don't think any of that's realistic. I'm going to research helicopters for next year. That's going to be my new goal. I don't want to make a bunch of money to be generous. I want a helicopter to drop me off places.
Change your backyard to just have a helipad.
Just a
instead
helipad.
Instead of a pool.
Yeah. Oh, what if I had like... Have you seen those pools that have the bottom that raises? So it's like a normal pool. You press a button and there's a concrete bottom or a whatever surface bottom that is the bottom of the pool, and it lifts up and just becomes a hard flat deck where the pool is. People have pickleball courts that are their pool. You press a button and it just submerges and exposes the water. Oh, you gotta look this up, man.
That's sweet.
You gotta look it up. It's incredible.
That's so cool.
Yeah, imagine that, and then all of a sudden you have like a putting green or an archery range or whatever. I don't know. It's cool, man.
Huh.
Yeah. I don't know how much those pools cost. They got to be a couple hundred grand.
At least.
But it's cool, for sure. I mean, sweet. It's like you remember seeing things on Cribs and being like, oh, my gosh, dude.
Right.
If we had everything that they had on Cribs back then, it's like, yeah, everybody has that technology. Everybody has that.
Right.
Minus, you know, 15 supercars. But this, like the raising pool thing, is the new equivalent to all the cool technology they had back then that we were jealous of as kids.
I think we need to get a raising pool and a helicopter.
And a helicopter. A pool helipad. And then, dude, Tony also is like, you do realize that people are using drones for stuff now. You could probably find someone up there to drop your gear at your campsite for you with a drone.
Do we just need to get one of those thermal drones and get, like, a souped-up one that can, like...
carry us?
Yeah. Dude, that would be insane.
Dude, they have personal aerial vehicles now that is basically you sit in a cockpit and then you're flying your own drone that carries you around places.
I'm pretty sure that's called an airplane.
No,
those have been around for a while.
It has four props on it.
Dude,
the technology coming out is so insane. Like how fast it's coming out.
Yeah.
I mean, you can legitimately fly these things, and I mean the flight time is not very great right now. But like, how far do you need to go?
Did you see? I don't know if the video is real, but with technology, I believe it's real. Did you see that drone that like they hooked up like a red stag to?
Uh huh.
And
yeah.
Just flew it out.
Yep.
Dude, could you imagine if we like had a drone that could do that?
Oh, they're fully doing it now. They're doing. Not only recovering deer by finding their heat signature, but the ability to pick deer and elk up and fly them out for you whole.
That'd be kind of
we're in the wrong
awesome.
Business, dude.
Yeah, we are. We can make a lot of money.
You gotta spend a whole bunch first.
Yeah, but I mean, how much would you charge to like fly someone's elk out of the backcountry?
Dude, I just want to be flown. I don't even want to be driving right now, and this isn't any work for me. And to think that in 9 hours we're starting a 10-hour hike. Yeah.
My legs are already sore.
Dude,
just thinking about it.
I just need to go to the bathroom. Stretch my legs. We got to fill up with gas again. And then I'm going to have to pass out for a couple hours.
Yeah.
I'm running on fumes at this point. So, anyways, there's our predictions. 50% chance we get two down. 75% chance we get one down. I'm just pumped for a new hunt. I love brand new hunts that I've never done, new places that I've never been, new people that I haven't hunted with before. And this has all of it. Plus 60 hours of driving to boot, so.
Yeah, 60 hours.
Yeah,
wow.
over a 10-day period.
Well, guys, hopefully next time we hop on, we're confirming our predictions, and Dan's bragging about the wolf he finally killed. And
oh, my gosh, dude. Could you imagine seeing? I think about wolves like this. The odds of me seeing one are so slim. People will sit at the valley where all the wolves are known to be in Yellowstone for a week before getting a sighting of one. So could you imagine actually seeing one and getting a shot?
Dude, that would be so cool. I will admit, that would be really cool to be able to see one, get a shot at it. I think I'd actually see you cry.
I think more people have killed elephants than have killed wolves. Like living people. Yeah, people alive today. I think wolf is probably, aside from like the really hard to draw species, wolf is probably one of the least successful hunts you can do.
So you're talking like hunting strictly, because like I would, I mean, there's trapping. People trap all the time.
Yeah, no, so I'm talking hunting.
You're
I'm talking like
actually hunting.
Yeah. Like passive hunting, like trapping is different. I think there's a lot of wolf numbers that come from trapping. Mm-hmm. But as far as hunting goes, I think you are in the, you're a, not even one percenter. You are a far less than one. You're a one percenter of one percenters if you have successfully hunted a wolf, not trapped it.
I'm actually curious as to like what the percent
look up
of
how
hunters.
Many wolves are killed a year. That's the way to do it. How many wolves are killed by hunters a year? How many people hunt every year?
Between 500 and 1,000 wolves are killed every year in the U.S. between legal permit hunting and illegal poaching.
Okay.
What they say.
So that's including poaching, which includes a bunch of random methods that, you know, the rest of us can't do. So then how many hunters are there in the U.S.?
$14.4 million.
Yeah. $14.4 million and 500 to 1,000 wolves.
Mm-hmm.
Including the poached ones.
Yeah. You're talking.
Yeah, I don't think we're gonna kill a wolf or even see one this week, bud.
Nope.
It'd be
but
great.
But
we
still
did.
Need to get the tag.
Yes, indeed.
You know, that's one of those like once in a lifetime, not once in a lifetime hunts, but once in a lifetime opportunities to kill one.
Yeah, and if you could have had a tag in your pocket and you didn't, I feel bad for you.
Yeah, for real.
Yeah, it's gonna be a good trip, man. I'm pumped. Let's. I probably should have stopped at that exit. Oh well, this is construction everywhere. Yeah, let's wrap this one up. We'll be back on the next episode. Will be the follow-up. So hopefully you guys are having success turkey hunting. We'll dive into Austin's unsuccessful season here shortly.
Appreciate that.
I haven't even purchased a tag yet.
That's good.
It's the happiest I've ever been during turkey season.
Nah, you were happy when we doubled last year.
No,
that was
definitely
pretty sweet.
I'm definitely super pumped, but thinking about getting out and turkey hunting before this hunt, no chance. Like, I had so much happening, so much on my mind, so many things to pack for. So when we get back, we'll get out. We'll make it happen. We will get we'll probably both double this year.
I would say so.
And then I got to get my brother one. And then hopefully get Canny out and get him one. So, lots to do. But until next time. Wow. See that? I just, like, couldn't even. I tried to say until next time. And I realized how much I was mumbling and slurring. See you guys.
Bye, guys.
2 Good & Co. coffee creamers are made with farm-fresh cream, real milk, and contain 3 grams of sugar per serving. That's 40% less than the 5 grams per serving in leading traditional coffee creamers for a rich, delicious experience. Whether you enjoy your coffee hot, cold, bold, or frothy, 2 Good coffee creamers make every sip a good one. 2 Good coffee creamers, real goodness in every sip. Find them at your local Kroger in the creamer aisle.
Where's your playlist taking you? Down the highway? To the mountains? Or just into daydream mode while you're stuck in traffic? With over 4,000 hotels worldwide, Best Western is there to help you make the most of your getaway. Wherever that is. Because the only thing better than a great playlist is a great trip. Life's the trip. Make the most of it at Best Western. Book direct and save at bestwestern.com.
Right now, get up to 20% off select online storage solutions. Put heavy-duty HDX totes to good use, protecting what's important to you. The solid, impact-resistant design prevents cracking, and the clear base and sides make items easy to find, even when the totes are stacked. Find select online shelving and tote storage up to 20% off at the Home Depot to organize every room in your home, from your garage to your attic. Visit homedepot.com. How doers get more done.
You're listening to the Sportsman's Empire Podcast Network, and this episode is brought to you by Interstate Batteries. For all of your battery needs, visit your local Interstate Batteries retail store. Interstate Batteries, outrageously dependable.